Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm ready to get hammered on Disney. What about you?
That sounds good to me.
That's the only way me and you get hammered, if we're talking about Disney. That's how we get excited, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's our drug of choice, right?
Absolutely. So, how's your week been going, boss?
Pretty good, pretty good. Like I said last show, I believe the fall weather's definitely upon us. It's freezing up here.
Oh, dude, my heater's on. I had to kick my boiler on. It was so sad, making sure worried about it working. Mine's a few years old. I did what you had to do a few years ago.
Right.
I put mine in myself, though. But every year you're worried you want it to work. You know what I mean? It's when you turn it on in the end of September, beginning of October, the first time, you're hoping it comes on again after being off for 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah, and as we're just getting over our electric bills from the AC running all summer, and we were trying to go as long as we could without running the boiler to save some money on heat, but that's a short window there, transition from the hot summer weather to the cool fall weather.
Yeah, that's why a few years ago, we went on a gas budget.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Where we pay the same amount every month year round.
Yeah, that don't hurt so much that way in the winter, that's for sure.
No, the electric, you really can't, because of there's no rhyme or reason with that, how that goes up or down.
Right.
You know, mine goes up quite a bit with the air conditioner, the $200-$300 a month. I don't know how yours goes with the air running.
Yeah, it spikes.
It's ridiculous. But, the gas one, we keep it. So the wife likes the house warm, man.
Right.
She's going to fit in perfect in Florida. She could sit 90 degrees and not even sweat. She actually, I've seen my wife get chilly with the high 80s.
Wow.
She's not a cold kind of girl.
Right.
Especially anymore. Every year she's a little less tolerant of it.
Right.
And I'm the one that cries about it all the time, but she'll turn, we'll be driving down the road, she'll turn the air off in the truck and it'll be like 88 degrees out. Are you cold? No, I'm not cold. So we're going to be good in Florida, man. She'll be living large.
Yep. Plenty of warm weather there.
So, but what else is new, buddy? How's school been? Everything going good at the school?
Oh, yeah, normal stuff. And I'm down to, 16 days now, 17 days, whatever it is. I was a few days ahead when I talked to you this morning. But, we're getting ready for our trip and getting stuff kind of lined up at work over the next 2 weeks to, so it'll be all right while I'm gone. And I'm going to... Magical Express came in the day before yesterday, so the trip's getting real now.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as that comes in, you get excited. The days are counting down.
Yeah, we're in, obviously double digits now, but in not too long of a time frame, we'll be down to single digits, so that'll be exciting. And we've had a bunch of our listeners down there recently. We had Evan down there, and Ella just got back, and...
Yeah, we got a couple trip reports coming up with them. We got Ella coming up this week, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. She was over at the Pauly, and I'm sure she has a great trip report to give us. And our friend John Peters was down there at Food and Wine. I mean, it seems like everybody we know in the Disney community is either been or is going or just got back, one of the three.
Yeah, I want to thank John, too. He sent us both out the maps and the guidebooks for the Food and Wine this year, and we really, really appreciate that, John. Great job.
Yeah. I sent him a tweet, and I was telling him I can properly plan for Food and Wine now because I have my official guidebook and map, so I can really go through and target things on my top 25 list and kind of do all that pre-festival, because I get not skittish, but I get down there and I have sort of a plan of what I want to do, and if I don't have it written down or in the book, I end up getting off the plan, and then I come back and I ended up not getting something I should have, or not doing something I said I was gonna, crabless crab cake, you know, or something like that. So no, in all seriousness, this will be good because I can go through, you know, at my leisure up here and really focus on the things I want to try. So when I get down there, I won't leave it to my own devices, and hopefully I'll do it correctly.
It just gets hard though, because sometimes something before, it's hard because we've done it before where you get down there, you plan on hitting, you want to get the Le Cellier filet, you want to go over here and get the scallops, you want to go get the fisherman's pie, but along the way things smell good and things look good and you can get sidetracked. You don't know what your taste buds are going to be. It's hard to plan a month before. That's why the whole thing with that Be Our Guest thing with the picking your meal out month before, I think is so stupid to me.
Right. Yeah, it's a little less of an issue with food and wine. But you're right, Doug. I mean, there's things like weather that come into play. There's things like if you have a fast pass at a certain time and you're way over the other side of World Showcase and you're hungry, you might see something that catches your eye and jump in and get that, and then you're not really hungry enough to get the thing you were going to get. So yeah, there are a lot of variables that, you know, I guess it's a plan, but you got to be flexible too, is what you get.
Exactly. At. And I've also found myself that some things taste totally different than what you think they're going to taste.
Right.
And then the next thing you wanted to go try don't go with what you just had.
Right.
So you end up, what ends up happening sometimes is certain things that you eat lead you to eat other things at other kiosks, because it put you in that frame of eating mind, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Like I said, a plan is good to have, even when it, you know, with your fast passes and with attractions and how you tour the park. I mean, you know, I very rarely do I stick to the exact plan that we started out with. I mean, sometimes you just, for whatever reason, do things differently. And, you know, sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But, you know, you can't get stressed out if you don't follow the plan to the T, because you won't enjoy yourself. So, yeah, just to have a plan, just, you know, to have an idea of what we're going to do is a good thing, though. And to get back to what you said, that was awfully nice of John to think of us and send us each a map and a marketplace passbook, or passport, rather, for this year's food and wine.
Yeah, he's down there again. He showed pictures. He's down there for the he was showing us pictures of the Chew Lab and all. John's a really good guy. I mean, I love John. Every time I'll go to my P.O. box, and all of a sudden there'll be something in there I didn't expect. And
right.
There's nothing like getting a treat from Disney. Like even you, my buddy, the things you sent me out. It's just special. Like I know, like when I send you up some things, like the little notepad and stuff like that. It just cheers you up. It's nothing crazy or over the top, but the little things are what mean the most. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It's got nothing to do with the monetary value of the item. It's just the fact that you get a little taste of Disney, something you weren't thinking about or counting on or even, you know, expecting. And you know, whether it's a coaster or a pen or a pad of paper or, you know, whatever, a festival.
It's just that you thought of me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And you're on my mind. Just like when these guys tweet us, like Evan, when he tweeted us about the train.
Right, right.
You know, that made me feel good. This guy's on vacation. He's thinking of me and you. So thank you, Evan. That really brightened my day.
Absolutely. I love seeing, you know, listeners. And I happen to know Evan personally. And he's a good guy, and him and his girlfriend had a good time. I think they're probably home now. Actually, they think they might have flown home this morning, or if not this morning, they're flying home in the morning. So one way or the other, they'll be back up north here shortly.
And Ella's going to be on this week. We'll thank her. She was sending stuff out to us and mentioned us personally, and that made us feel good.
Oh, yeah.
All the listeners that tweet us from down there. Like John was telling me again that he heard our podcast at the Italian Pavilion. That is because he's a delivery, because he'll deliver once in a while to Epcot.
Right.
It's awesome that they listen to our podcast. I don't even know. I don't believe we listen to our podcast sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I think we're pretty much piped in all the pavilions at the World Showcase. The WDW Main Street is very popular down there with the cast members. And actually, Hilda from the Carver tweeted us back and forth. We tweeted some stuff out. So yeah, we got a lot of friends down there in Walt Disney World. Friends of the show.
It's nice. It's really, it makes you happy when they reach out to us.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does. It's like it makes this like we were doing something a little bit right. Not too right, but a little bit right.
No, it is true. So. And like we always say, and that's one of the reasons we both do this podcast, is it's just nice in between trips to kind of stay in touch with what's going on down there in Disney World. I mean, we all have websites we go to and maybe other podcasts we listen to, but there's nothing like getting a first-hand account from a listener or a friend of the show. Just, even though we're not there, obviously, it's vicariously, we're kind of getting our little Disney fix through those that are there at the time.
Absolutely. Like, even Bob was in Tennessee a few weeks ago, and he had Bangers and Mash there. And he sent me a picture of it, and he goes, not as good as Rose and Crown, but it was really good. But it just the thought, know what I'm saying?
That
he's eating dinner... And that he thought of us to have to let me in on it. That means a lot to us.
Oh, absolutely. And we recorded that one show from Food and Wine last week. Well, him and Mary were actually in transit from Disney World back home, so that was cool too that we were able to do a show. And actually part of his Disney trip. Unfortunately, it was the sad part, the way home, but nevertheless, it was part of his trip, and he gave us the ability to record a show, so that was awesome, too.
It's good times. We're gaining listeners left and right. We had another nice review for us over on iTunes, which we really appreciate, from Anna, which was awesome.
Nice.
So, somebody listened to my begging.
Yeah, we figure for every 10 minutes of begging, we usually get one review. So, yeah, we're doing all right.
Yeah, please, guys, go over and leave us reviews. We really need them. We really appreciate it, too, when you guys do it.
Yeah, it does make us feel good. Absolutely.
So you ready to talk some news, Dan?
Yeah. A few things going on down there in Disney World. We'll just start out in a general theme for the last couple of news shows that we've done. That, Food and Wine has kicked off. And as you heard from, our friend Bob from All in WDW, things are kind of hitting full stride. He was there for the both the soft opening and opening day. And there were a few glitches, which is to be expected. But other than that, it sounds like they're pumping out the good quality food. And by and large, everybody's pretty happy with this year's festival. So that's all good.
Yeah, and if you're going to be down there, to choose recording the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th.
So that...
They're recording it next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And those shows are going to air the following week, the 12th through the 16th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if you guys want to go over and see them, go over October 7th, 8th, and 9th, and you'll be able to see the live recordings of the show.
Yeah, that'd be. I wish I was going to be down there at that time. That would be awesome. I've never seen something like that, and
next year, buddy, that's my goal.
Yeah, who knows?
We want to be down there for the Chew. I'd like to cover that for the show.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's successful and it does become an annual occurrence. I don't know if it will, but it would be nice if they came back next year and we got a chance to see it. That would be awesome.
To me, it's a perfect match because the show is awesome. The characters on the show, like, I watch it every day if I like it or not.
Right.
I wake up. That's what's on at 5:30 in the morning at my house.
So you're watching the previous day's show if it's on.
Exactly. She records it every day. What happened is with my beautiful wife, about three or four years ago, because we watched the news, and how they keep repeating the same depressing thing all day?
Right.
So her day would start off sad because my wife would take it in, God forbid, with these school shootings and all this, and our hearts go out to everybody out in Oregon and the whole nine yards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying,
yep,
Dan?
Yep.
With all that stuff, not to bring things down, but you watch that stuff every morning before you go to work. It's depressing. So I started to get her to, please, hon, why don't you watch something else? So she started taping Ellen. And then the Chew came on, and she fell in love with that show.
Right.
So what she does is she tapes it, and before she goes to work, she watches that. And it sends her off to work between that and Ellen in a better peace of mind than watching the Today Show and the Morning News tell you the same depressing stuff 15
right.
times over again. Because you turn it on at 5 in the morning, and they play the same thing through 9.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good to get the, you know, maybe catch the scores from the night before, get your weather and, you know, top mm-hmm. stories. But you're right, after the 10 or 15 minutes, it's just all repeat. So it makes sense of what you're saying. I mean, why listen to the same stuff over and over and over again? You're right, it is kind of ridiculous.
So we started watching The Chew, and it's nice. We wake up every day, and she has that on, and me and her love to cook, so... We're hoping it stays as a normal thing down there. You know, I mean, this year we couldn't do it because of family reasons and stuff like that. But it's one of those things I would love to go to every year because we love the show so much.
Yeah, and it's an ABC show, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's why they're there. It's owned. And Michael Simon, as Bob and Brenda say, Michael Simon says.
He rules, huh?
Exactly. But they're all good. We really enjoy the show. My wife likes Carla and Daphne and all of them. She loves all of them. It's a good show. Even Mr. Crocs, Mario Batali.
Yeah, I said before, I've been watching. Mario's probably the one that I'm most familiar with, only because I used to watch him on Food Network all the time. So I kind of like him. The others, I mean, I know from seeing like promos and stuff, but I've never watched the show, so I'm not really familiar with them too much. But
They do a good show. They all have a different point of view, and that's what makes it, you know, good.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a star on or a different celebrity or whatever, and they'll show you things they like to eat. And like this, I can't wait because they're going to be going behind the scenes and maybe show you some of the back of the – I'm hoping to see, like, some of the restaurants from behind the scenes and stuff like that because a couple years ago, they actually went and showed you Michael Simon went on the Disney cruise ship when it was docked at New York City.
Oh, okay.
And he showed you the kitchens and showed you how they take everything out of there every, you know, at the end of every cruise, the kitchens are completely emptied. And, you know, it's a fine oil machine with the forklifts going in and out. It showed you, he showed you a lot of how they take care of serving all the people on board.
Yeah, I mean, Disney had, you know, not just with food and wine, but with a lot of their restaurants, they are tied into, you know, celebrity chefs and stuff. What's that guy, the cake boss? What's his name, Buddy?
Yeah, I think so.
He, a couple of years ago, remember they filmed that thing? He had his cannolis, I think, down at the, it was either the yacht or the beach club. And I remember it because it was a funny story. He had one of his cooks or whatever, somebody that worked for him. He was so worried about the shell of the cannoli. I think it was a cannoli. He didn't want to make them down there and use the water because it's not the same. So they actually made the shells up in New York City, and they drove them straight down to be filled. And I think the guy got lost, or it might have even been him himself. I forget what it was, but it was. I think it was for the Food and Wine preview. They were hosting that, and you know, he had cannolis as one of the dishes that, you know, he was presenting or whatever. And I guess the guy got there, like, right under the wire. So, you know, they were quickly filling the cannolis and getting them out on trays and getting them out on stage to be, you know, tried by the, you know, the guests that were there for that presentation. But it was pretty funny how, you know, and they showed, you know, backstage how they prepared them and, you know, it was just, it was an interesting show. But I guess my larger point is, you know, even with Kat Cora and, you know, different other celebrity chefs, Disney has quite a stable of chefs that are affiliated with them and their restaurants and, you know, these special events like Food and Wine. So hopefully that continues because, you know, food and wine and all that stuff is a hot commodity right now and people love it. And, you know, I enjoy it too myself.
Yeah, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. And they also had an episode of Kitchen Impossible down there where they were showing where they were cooking for a banquet, and they actually showed the kitchens in the back area of Epcot, which was very interesting. So that's what I'm hoping for this week. You know how we are with Disney geeks. any chance you can get to see something that you've never seen before is like, you know, you're all happy about.
Right, right. Well, it'll be interesting if they show the, I'm sure they will, they'll feature a focus on the two labs, because if, you know, you remember Bob was telling us they had a little bit of a problem on that opening day or soft
opening.
With
the cash register, and they didn't have the stake, wasn't ready yet. So
it'll be interesting to just see, put, you know, pictures to the words that Bob said, you know, just put it all together. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, because when Kelly and Michael's down there, because they're down there every year because they do the Christmas stuff, and they do another week that they do, and it's really cool because it shows what they do with their families. It showed Kelly how they get their own tour guide 1 year, and she got on all the rides, like, through the, you know, the Fast Pass area, and, you know, special loading areas, and that's cool to see. So everybody check the Chew out next week, and if you're down there, watch them videotape it, watch them do the shows, and then the week of the 12th, watch the shows live. I think we'll get some. I think we'll get a little bit of tidbits we haven't seen yet.
Absolutely. We can only hope.
No. So first piece of news, my good buddy. Now we've already finished our first round.
Yeah.
Ordering a second round. I'm a little parched now.
That was the preamble. I think we mentioned this before, but it's in the news again, so I'll just refresh the story. But, Rafiki meet and greet to begin at Magic Kingdom this weekend. So character meet and greets at the Magic Kingdom. Rafiki will be meeting and greeting with guests in Adventureland at Magic Kingdom from October 4th. Is that tomorrow? Or was...
Yeah, okay. That's tomorrow, Sunday the 4th, right. Which is today when we release this show.
Yeah, so keep that straight. The meet and greet will be near the Sunshine Tree Terrace. At the same time, Stitch will be leaving Tomorrowland, but will continue to appear in the Move It, Shake It street party each day. So, you know, just some minor, you know, character offerings that they have, but things will be changing. Actually, there's another story. I guess I'll do it now, and it relates to this.
Okay, go ahead, do it.
Yeah,
now.
It'll be the last chance to meet Duffy the Bear at Epcot this weekend. After this weekend, Duffy will be replaced by Daisy Duck. So that's interesting because, as you know, Disney flooded the, you know, that was a big thing a few years ago, and I know it's big over in China or Japan, one of the...
I think it's Japan, but I could be wrong, but I think it's Japan.
Yeah, I mean... You know, Duffy is like Mickey Mouse over here. I mean, he's just huge, and that's where that basically came from. But you'll remember, even down in Florida, they every store you went into, it was just inundated with Duffy the Bear and the different costumes. And I'm not saying that that's going to be going away, but I think that's kind of run its
course.
I just don't think it ever became as popular as Disney would have liked it to have been, and that says a lot, saying that you know, Duffy's not going to be there at that meet and greet, which, you know, the last few years I've seen him a couple of times out there, and the kids lining up, there always seem to be a long line there though, so I don't know what the deal is with that, but we're going to get dates.
Maybe they want to make the absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe we're just going to take them out for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't mind. I like Daisy, so.
Yeah, I like the Fab Five, and, well, actually, Daisy's not in the Fab Five, but.
She's married to the Fab Five,
okay.
So she's part of the Fab Five.
Five.
Don't diss Daisy.
She's five and a half, but, I like the core Disney characters better. If I got to see characters, I'd much rather see Daisy than Duffy, but that's just me.
I hear you, buddy.
Let's see here. One Man's Dream to show previews for The Good Dinosaur, and I think that's the next Pixar movie coming out, or is that Disney movie? It is Pixar.
I think it's Pixar.
Okay. Well, if it isn't Pixar, it's Disney. But you can see the preview now through December 4th with the original One Man's Dream movie returning on December 5th. So I guess they're just going to replace this trailer in that movie theater where they had One Man's Dream showing for the last... over many years it's been. So if you want to see what that movie's all about, that'd be a good time to go in there and check that out. That's actually not a bad idea.
No, I like it. If I was there, I'd go see it. It would just, because I always want to go through One Man's Dream all the time regardless.
Right, and that's what,
so okay. I know I would definitely go see that movie.
Yeah, that's what I was,
the preview.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because we had heard that One Man's Dream is going away, and I guess it probably eventually will, but maybe in this transition time they're gonna kind of use it it for multi-purposes, not just... Yeah.
Yeah, not just for that old movie.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to do this. When we go down, I will definitely go see this because it's going to be there through December. So it'll definitely be showing, that's for sure.
Let me know what you think about it.
I will do that. Let's see. Cali Rapids. They don't call it Cali River Rapids anymore. I don't know why. But Cali Rapids, no longer part of Morning Extra Magic Hours at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
I guess it's starting to get a little chillier down there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. The white water rafting ride was added to early morning hours in August, with its last morning availability now being October 2nd. So that's already gone past. Cali Rapids will now open with the rest of the park at 9 a.m., even on extra magic hour days. So, that is what it is. And also, and I know we mentioned this, the test of a compulsory use of locker for personal items has been canceled. So that little test they did is maybe it didn't go so well. And I don't know what.
Sounds like it failed.
Yeah, maybe it didn't make any money because it was complimentary, or at least that's what we had reported. So they canned that test. So I guess we're back to the way it was as far as, locker storage for your items.
No, I don't know. It was shocking they gave something away for free anyway. But who would want to get on that to start your day off? Unless you're just going to do that and leave. I didn't care if that was ever on extra early magic hours, because we weren't getting me on it first thing in the morning.
Yeah, but you got to figure there's a lot of first timers there that don't know any better, and they'd be the type of people that would go on it because they don't know.
Or young kids, right, that want to get soaked, but who wants to spend their day with wet shoes for the first couple hours?
Right, not me. I would
no,
and I totally agree with you. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean,
now extra magic hours night, I'm in. If it's a nice warm Florida night,
absolutely,
sign me up. I'll take a quick dip in there in the Cali River, and then leave and go back to my resort, and then dive in the pool.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Flick meet and greet starts this weekend at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Flick from A Bug's Life.
Sign me up for Flick.
Yeah. Flick from A Bug's Life will be returning to the Animal Kingdom for meet and greets this weekend. You can meet Flick from October 4th near Starbucks on Discovery Island. Daisy.
They're trying to sell some Starbucks to the parents.
Yeah, there you go. While the line is waiting, Dad could go get
coffee. Absolutely, buddy. They're not dumb.
Daisy is moving to Epcot, as we just reported earlier in this news segment of Duffy. She will not be appearing for meet and greets at the Animal Kingdom. She will, however, still be appearing at the Tusker House restaurant.
Oh. Yeah, for the breakfast and all. Yeah. So.
No,
I'm happy about that. I'll get myself a Starbucks while I'm going to meet Flick. But I have to admit, he's in my opinion, the best animatronic on property.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Flick is the little guy, right? He's the ant that comes out of the ceiling. I think Hopper is the...
The Hopper, I'm sorry. My bad. I love Hopper when he comes out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the mean grasshopper or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. Right? My bad. I got confused there for a second. But I love that animatronic, and it's a Bug's
Life.
Oh,
yeah. He's with all the moving parts and just the facial expressions and his attitude is...
He's mean.
Yeah, he plays a good role, and you gotta have a villain in every good Disney or Pixar movie. So that works well. Hopper does.
Yeah, I think he might be the scariest thing on property too.
yeah, that could be. Yeah, so that's all good. Gee, a lot of character movements this year, this week in the news.
Well, get your autograph book out then, and write down, jot it down where you gotta find each one.
Yeah. Hey, I've done that before when the kids were smaller. Let's see here.
Blame it on the kids.
Yeah, right. I got plenty of pictures with the characters, too, so I can't blame them for everything. As we know, earlier this week, Morimoto Asia opened at Disney Springs, and they had an official ceremony. And picture I'm looking at here is pretty cool with Chef Morimoto what do they call those things that they wear? I'm not going to think of the name of it. Anyways, he was on site to do a little presentation. Now that Disney Springs is officially open, the Iron Chef Morimoto joined a group for a grand opening with the Disney leaders and the Big Cheese himself, Mickey Mouse. And that It was the latest of the new additions at Disney Springs. Morimoto Asia will be opening for dinner from September 30th, with lunch and a weekend brunch will be added later in the year. And then in early 2016, the restaurant will also be adding a quick service offering on the lower terrace to complement its regular table service menu. So that's a nice add. I like that.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get down there to see all this. And the thing of it is now you got a, what are you talking about, Marimoto's kimono?
Yes, the kimono. Yeah, he's got a little little Mickey on it.
The Mickey logo on it.
Awesome.
Yeah. I went over and grabbed the picture so I could see what you were talking about so I could help you out. But, yeah, the kimono. But I'm so excited about this. We also, I mean, it's nice that Disney Springs and Disney World both are going to share the same week of birthday.
Yeah, that's kind of nice the way they lined up those dates, and I'm sure it was on purpose.
Exactly. So they both have the same birthday now.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and it was kind of a subdued ceremony. At least, you know, I wasn't on social media a lot, so I wasn't following it in actual time, but I guess they did have an official ceremony or a brief ceremony.
Yeah.
At the landings on Waterview Park, and actually the picture I'm looking at here, it looks like there's bad weather.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
Disney World president was there, George Kalogrindis. And Disney Springs Vice President Keith Bradford were on hand to, mark the occasion and with all the Disney World ambassadors. So no more saying Disney, Disney Springs, or I guess we need to now say Disney Springs because that is it.
No more downtown.
Yeah, no more downtown Disney. It's all been changed over. I know I saw maps that have the new Disney Springs logo on it. They even launched a new website to, as part of this dedication. You can go to, I'm assuming it's DisneySprings.com or something to that effect. And
Yeah,
you can see all the new offerings and the new rebranding, as they call it. And Disney Springs is here. It seems like just yesterday we were speculating on what this all is going to be about, and here we are, less than 2 years later, and it's not complete, but it's a...
No, it's not complete, but it's almost there, but there's still a lot going on there.
Yeah, there's still a lot of construction, but I mean, it's really come along nicely, and it's, it seems like every other week there's a new restaurant opening up, or they're dropping something on us, Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, or this or that, and even all the little, secondary minor stores, I mean, we covered all those, and there's a lot of neat places down there, and it's definitely going to be a, I certainly think if you do it right, it's definitely can take one full day of your vacation combined with shopping. And if you have an ADR or maybe just even walk up somewhere, if you plan to have dinner down there, you could definitely spend the day, shopping and looking and window shopping and,
Well,
all that stuff.
That's what I was saying. If we go in the spring, then we're going to, if we stay, because we're planning on going down in the spring, we might stay at the beach for a couple days and then hover it over to Riverside. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to Brent, we might spend a couple days, like 4 days in the parks, but a couple days at downtown Disney Springs, just because I want to soak it all in.
Oh, yeah. With everything that's there, with Splitsville and all the existing stuff that's there and then all this new stuff. And, we were kidding about my trip coming up, trying to figure out how I'm going to get to all these places and try to take some pictures or at least experience, an appetizer or something. I mean, you got to work hard to do that. And not that I'm complaining, but I mean, there is so much to do and so much new stuff to experience. You're right, Doug. I mean, we could easily spend two full days down there just, because we geek out over all this stuff. But, even a typical family of four or a couple for that matter, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think there were times in the past at the old marketplace and downtown Disney where, you were used to the same old stores and you'd buzz in and out of them quickly, and you could wrap it up in a half a day if you had to, and you wouldn't feel like you missed something. But I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, well, it's going to be, the way it looks so festive and all down there, especially with the way every time you turn around, more restaurants are adding seating on the lake down there, have a water view.
Yeah, you.
So everything is adding water. I think Paradiso just added more water view, and all of them are adding additions and making them. The restaurants that are already there are making their existing are making them look nicer and more inviting. So there's so much going on that makes it like a festival down there. Every time you go, you want to hang out there.
Yeah, and
it's a place to be.
You're right, and you know the terrace at Paradiso 37, like you mentioned, they were working on it when I was there last time. It might be done now, but it's going to be a place where you can grab a drink or an appetizer or something and just sit there and then watch the day go by, watch the boats, and you know, the boats coming down the Sasagula, or you can not rent, but you can go on the little boats there at the boathouse and take a tour around the waterway. You know, you can pull a couple strings if you want over at Splitsville. I mean, there's catch a movie. You know, there's just so much you can do above and beyond just eating and shopping, which just with those two things can certainly kill a half a day. And if you try, you know, to do something else, then you can certainly get a whole day down there. No doubt in my mind.
Well, the thing of it is me and Brent don't need to be doing the rides anymore. Like, don't get me wrong that we don't want to do Soarin', we don't want to do Seven Dwarfs or, you know,
right,
get on Carousel or whatever. But also, most of our fun is just roaming World Showcase. And really, with the way they're doing Disney Springs, it's going to be an area to hang out at, to just roam around, to just spend the day. Like, especially we were talking about if we stay at the pier, or like you saying at Saratoga, or we're at Riverside. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy to take a boat down and make multiple nights down there just to hang out and have drinks, because there's so many places that are, like, you have the new outdoor bar over by the that Bob stayed at, that was over by a Rainforest Cafe that's right there on the water. I mean, there's so many different offerings now.
That's right. And, you know, and Disney's smart. I mean, this doesn't come as, you know, you don't need a ticket to get into this complex. They have the, you know, the two parking garages. But let's face it, you go down there, you know, you have the potential to spend a lot of money. And that's what Disney's hoping.
I'm telling you now, the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard are going to be so sought after, in my opinion, now.
Oh yeah, this is a windfall for them, because you're going to have more guests there longer periods of time. And you know, like we said at the B, it's a 10-minute walk from downtown Disney. I mean, you could be at Wolfgang Puck's 10 minutes after leaving your room at the B. So I mean, how convenient is that?
And it's a beautiful walk.
Exactly.
It's a walk you look forward to taking, not that you're dreading. It's a beautiful area. It's a beautiful resort. I mean, you could lay by the pool, run over to Wolfgang's, do this, go back, dive in the pool, head over to Jock Lindsay's, go dive in the pool,
right,
come back and go to the boathouse.
Right.
How nice is that? You know what I mean? You could do the same thing at Saratoga is what I'm saying.
Yep.
It would be a nice day. Run over, have a nice brunch.
Yeah.
Go back, hang out, resort. Then go over and have an afternoon snack. And then go out and have a late dinner somewhere and enjoy the day.
And then you can get an ice cream at Ghirardelli's at night to top it all off.
Absolutely. Or have a nightcap somewhere and have a late appetizer. I mean, there's so much to do. It's endless down there now.
Right.
I can't wait till it's completely done.
I mean, they have the food trucks that are down there in the center, kind of near the characters in flight. You know, and we reported a couple of shows back, they've installed at least some, if not all, of the pedestrian, the overhead passageways. So now you don't even have to worry about being on that busy road when you cross the street to get from Disney Springs over to the other side of Hotel Plaza Boulevard. You'll be able to go over the pedestrian walkway. So that's going to be safer, and you won't have to wait for traffic. You'll be able to just go, and it's going to make it even easier to get around that area.
Yeah, more advantageous to go there. I mean, it's just beautiful. Like, the whole new layout is going to be so nice, not having to walk around Pleasure Island. It's going to be so much more traffic because it's all going to be included. There's not going to be a gate where you can't go in.
Right.
You have to walk around. You know what I mean? All that stuff is going to be open to everybody, and I think it's going to be more fun than having two separate areas.
Yeah, that was always awkward, and, you know, we know why they did it, and, you know, it was what they made the best of it. But you're right, it's kind of felt disconnected the last couple of years where, you know, you had that bridge, and for a while they had the admission to Pleasure Island, like you said, and I don't know, it just felt awkward. But now, like you said, it's just going to be one wide open space. We'd be able to go to and fro, and enjoy yourself, and like I said, there's just so much to do.
There was a run there at Pleasure Island, Dan. I don't know if you remember it, because we always had the everything passes,
right?
So we always had Pleasure Island included. And there was times where we would go down there, like, because we'd always have it on our pass, where we would go into Pleasure Island, grab a drink, and walk through, where there was nobody there. And it just felt so unfestive,
right?
Like when you were there and there'd only be two people at this bar,
right?
Five at this one, you know, and it was just,
no.
you felt bad for it.
I do remember that. I remember being, I forget the club, but we went in and it was, you know, 10:30 at night, which is kind of late Disney time, if you will, not if you're in New York City or something, but by Disney standards, it's late. And there was, like you said, a handful of people in there, and it was just like, it was weird. I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
It's like, it was like, why is he, like, where is everybody? And then New Year's Eve would come, especially when they do that, and you'd have like 30 people outside for the fireworks. It's like, it was intended to be a festive area, and it got to the point where, yeah, Friday and Saturday night, there'd be a bunch of kids, the locals, it would be happening. But during the week, it was like wasted space,
right, like
a lot of
times. Tuesday night, it was dead down there. You're right.
Absolutely.
But it was one of those things. They had to keep it open because, like you said, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people had the tickets like you did. And, you know, mm-hmm. they wanted people to go. And I think exactly what you said is what Disney probably said to itself at some point. Where is everybody?
I mean, there was times when we first started going down, when me and Brenda were in our late, like 26, 27 years old, and when it was really happening, like, yeah, all during the week, eight tracks, all them places would be pretty full, you know. But as the years went on, every year it would seem to be a little less. Then it got to the point where it was like a ghost town.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, I didn't really enjoy the clubs. We're not big dancers or anything like that. But
I can cut a rug,
yeah,
then.
The thing I did like, though, I really enjoyed the comedy club. I mean, we went there several times, and, you know, the Adventurers Club, we went in a couple of times. But other than those two clubs, the rest of them, I could have taken them or leave them. It didn't really do it for me. But, you know, but again, I always shared this story with us when we were going. Then the kids were smaller and they were tired, and we'd bring them because they weren't old enough to stay back at the room. You know, so we had to bring them, and that was always the rub. And I think that's why it was awkward, and that, you know, they're presenting this adult environment, yet you have kids that are 5, 6, 7 years old with you. And yeah, I don't know, it just wasn't the right mix, and certainly it wasn't very Disney-like. So I really believe that's one of the main reasons they rebranded and why we have Disney Springs now, because it's much more family-friendly, and there's something to do for everyone. And yeah, there's plenty of bars and things you can do like that, but I don't think that's the focus or the focal point of what's to do down there, where I think before, having just the clubs, that certainly was the focus point, partying and drinking, you know. And you remember, they used to have the I don't know what they were, I'm just going to say women or whatever, but they were coming around with Jello shots and stuff like that. And, you know, that just seemed weird. You know, you're standing there with your kids and, you know, here's somebody trying to sell you a Jello shot. I don't know. It just was weird.
Exactly, because you could be in there sometimes before they closed it. Like, you know how you could walk through during the day?
Right.
And then, it, like, sometimes you'd be stuck there during the crossover.
Right. Yeah.
And that would make it weird for families, because I'd see families with husband and wife with three little daughters and a son, and then all of a sudden somebody's drunk coming out of the Adventurers Club,
right,
you know, something like that.
Right.
It just, I mean, with us when we were younger, it was okay, but the older I got, the less I understood it. But
right. We're
happy about Disney Springs.
Oh, yeah.
We can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to your trip report from there.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to spending some significant time down there, because I, like you, you know, this far into my Disney travels, you know, we will do the attractions, we will do our favorites, but, you know, this trip is much more about food and wine and Disney Springs, and it will be about, you know, riding Test Track 4 times. I mean, we'll ride it once for sure, but maybe we won't go back 2 and 3 and 4 times because we want to see some of this other stuff we just talked about.
Well, like me, at the least crowded time of the year, when me and Bren go, if there's not a big line, I'll do Test Track 4 times. But if it's packed, if I get on it once, I'm happy. If not, it ain't going to break my heart.
It'll be there.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, it'll be there when you go next time.
Absolutely. So what's next, my buddy? I will say one thing before you go on. I did see the video of Marimoto's restaurant. Yeah. It is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, okay. You were doing double duty here? You were watching it while we were talking?
No, I watched it before, buddy. I did my homework. I'm not a slacker.
All right, all right. Just checking.
But it's very, very nice. There's these big glass chandeliers in there, and, I mean, it's really elegant looking. I think you're going to like it when you get there.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, and I don't know what I'm more excited for. I mean, all three of them, for different reasons. I mean, the boathouse, we have an ADR there. We're going to see that. But, you know, Morimoto's has been I've been fascinated by it since it's been announced. And then that Jock Lindsay's, which initially it was just some other obscure restaurant. I really had no, it's great, another new restaurant. But the more I hear about it and see pictures of it and people, tweeting about it, I'm getting excited for that too. So I think they're all different in their own way, and they're going to offer different, different type of food. But I think they're three great additions to the Springs, and I'm really looking forward to each and every one of them.
Yeah, three very different but very intriguing places. I can't wait to see all. I'll probably fit in the best at Jock Lindsay's.
Yeah, you don't fly. Yeah, you'll fit right in there.
Exactly, buddy. So, what's next, partner?
Yeah, just a few minor things. Characters in Flight closed for the next couple days for refurbishment. The tethered balloon ride will be closed for routine maintenance, so nothing major going on there. They're not going to change the balloon or anything crazy like that. But if you're down there over this weekend or the next couple of days, it does. It does. Today through October 2nd, so that means it's back open again on the 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, there's really not a whole lot going on. The rest of the stuff, Disney officially transitions. We already covered that. Morimoto. There's a video out there if you're interested. A look at the newly refurbished Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's see. The show scenes have a fresh coat of paint. The audio has been improved in the audio animatronics have all been redressed and improved. The show content has not changed, and the ride still has the same familiar feel, albeit looking and sounding much fresher. Backstage.
Yeah, I heard it. I've heard some reviews, and I actually, my one buddy was down there, my buddy John, and he said it really, really enhances it because all the clothes are all fresh and new. And even though Disney cleans them like all the time, but there's nothing like something, everything being brand new again.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. Yeah, it'll be like, living in color or something like that. It says backstage upgrades were also carried out on elements of the ride system. So, yeah, now I'm even looking more forward to seeing Pirates when I'm there to see this this upgrade. And it didn't specifically say, but I thought they were doing something with the boats too. But this story doesn't specifically mention that. But remember, people were getting wet and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, they were having problems with the hands over the side. So they redesigned the boats a little bit. I think they changed them up a little bit, make them a little safer.
Yeah, now there's a cage you sit in that you can't. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, with a roll
right,
bar.
Right, exactly. No, that's that's all I have for news, unless you have something you want to drop on us.
Yeah, I just want to drop on the, did you go over the new menu yet for Pecos Bills?
I did not.
Well, I'll read it to you and tell me what interests you. How's that sound?
Yeah, go ahead.
For soup and salad, you got Southwest Chicken Salad, which I've seen the pictures of. It really looks good. It has mixed greens, chicken, Monterey Jack cheese, tomato, roasted corn, jalapenos, and a Chipotle ranch for $10.99. Southwest Salad with beef, mixed greens, beef, Monterey Jack, same thing, roasted corn, jalapenos, and Chipotle ranch, and then a chicken enchilada soup. So out of the soups and salads, they sound good to you, then?
Yeah, that sounded all right.
Okay. Then for your entrees, you got a beef fajita platter with cilantro, rice, beans, and tortillas.
Oh, that's
me and
you're
not going in for that, buddy.
Give me that cilantro rice. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, for passing. That's $14.49. That's a weird number. Then they have the chicken fajita platter, which is the same thing with the cilantro, rice, beans, and tortilla for $13.49. So the beef's a buck more.
Right.
Then they got the beef burrito with the cilantro rice. We're not eating here, Dad.
It doesn't sound like it.
No. They got a chicken burrito with cilantro, rice, and beans, a beef rice bowl, chicken rice bowl, and roasted vegetable with rice ball. And then they got for the children, 3 and 9. They got the Uncrustable PB&J, which, believe it or not, I like Uncrustable PBJs too. I don't like my crust. But it comes with grapes and carrot sticks. Your choice of a small low-fat milk or small bottle of water for $5.49. Then they have a rice bowl with beef, chicken, or vegetables with grapes and carrot sticks for your kids for $6.99. And then they have a quesadilla with grapes and carrot sticks for $6.99. Then they have the chocolate or the carrot cake, churros, sopapilla. It's S-O-P-A-I-P-I-L-L-A. Sopapilla.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then they have a Dan and Greek yogurt. And then soft drinks, Coke, you can get all your normal stuff, bottled water, orange juice. I'll be honest with you, I will not be eating here unless I'm getting this out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, with Columbia Harbor House right around the bend, well, not around the bend, but I don't see myself going here. I mean, unless everything else was packed and I couldn't get in anywhere else. And, you know, we said our initial reaction on this was that we were not at all pleased with the change in menu. And after hearing you read those things there, I'm even less less pleased. And no way, I won't be going here.
I mean, and now they're even, the prices are higher. I mean, you're talking $14.49 for a beef fajita platter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to make a prediction right here. Within a year, it's going to change again. I'm not saying they're going to bring back the burger, but something's going to give, or there's something happening with this new restaurant in Ventureland that we don't know about that's going to make it so Pico's
Bills, the new Jungle Cruise,
will be an afterthought and it won't matter anyways. It's got to be one of those two things, because it just makes no sense that they would take the establishment that serves by many, many, many of people in the Disney community as the best burger on property and take it totally off the menu and go in this direction. I don't get it.
Nah, me neither. I mean, and the prices, I mean, $14.49 for a fajita?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying, and I'm not even cheap, then. I mean, that's why I'm not rich, because I spend too much. But, I mean, if I can go over and get a lobster roll for $12.49. I'd rather have a lobster roll.
Exactly, and it's much better food.
I mean, you can get grilled salmon served with couscous and steamed fresh broccoli for $12.49. I'm not being smart, but if a fajita, it costs less to make that fajita than it does to make a burger, and the burger was cheaper.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm stymied by this direction they're going in. But like a lot of things, maybe it's just that, you know, this is only the first baby step in many steps to come, where, it, you know, a year or 18 months from now, we'll be saying, oh, that made perfect sense. No wonder why they did that. Now it makes sense. Because right now, with what we know right now today, it makes zero sense to me.
No, I don't. I mean, unless we're the oddballs that wouldn't rather have. And I'm not saying I got burgers every time. I probably haven't eaten at Pecos Bills in a little bit because I fell in love with Columbia Harbor
right.
House. But I still love Pecos Bills. I go by there, and it's one of those things where I'm mad I didn't eat there too, because I want to.
Right.
I want to just eat there because it's like tradition for
exactly.
me.
Exactly, and maybe that's what has a lot to do with it. Us old fuddy duddies that have been going to Disney for 15 plus years now, we like the things we like, and like you said, even if we don't go there each and every time, just knowing it's there, gives you peace of mind and comfort, and knowing that if I go crazy and I want to go get a big old burger, I can do it, just knowing that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, the Southwest chicken salad looks good, but I mean, I don't know if I'm going to want to eat a jalapeno pepper for lunch. I mean, I don't know. Call me crazy. I mean, what do you think?
No, and
then everything has cilantro in it. Where are we going to go?
Yeah, that in itself, I mean, regardless of whether the menu changed or not, I wouldn't be ordering something like that. And, I've said this before. I mean, you were kind of surprised, I think, when I told you I had never eaten it in the restaurant in the Mexico Pavilion. And just Mexican food, not that there's cilantro in all of it. There is in a lot of it, but not all of it, I should say. It's just not my favorite type of food. I'd rather eat Italian or Chinese, or there's probably five other types of food that I'd rather have before I'd ever get to Mexican food, and it's just not something that appeals to me. So even more so, I wouldn't want to eat at Pecos Pills for that reason, on top of the type of food they're serving, you know, is secondary almost.
Yeah, see, I like Mexican food, and I've told the story, we've eaten there. That's one of my favorite restaurants.
Right.
And I mean, it's not, and that's another one, it's not every trip, it's not Rose and Crown or Le Cellier where they're, but I enjoy it. I've said this back and forth on the show, so don't hold me to it, because I don't know the exact number, but it's anywhere between 5, 7, 10 times. We've eaten there quite a
right.
bit. You know, I don't know exactly, but it's been quite a few times. I've been there so many trips, but I enjoy the restaurant. I love the mahi-mahi. I love the meal. I mean, we've had a great time. They give you the free tortillas to start off to start your meal
right.
off. They're awesome. It's kind of like, to me, like the, it's not as good as the pretzel bread at Le Cellier, but the tortillas and the sauce and all they give you for snacking is awesome
right.
to me. It's like you can taste the freshness of the sauce. It's
yeah.
great, but I choose to go there. Like, this is a fast food restaurant that has no other, like, there's nothing there without cilantro in it. It's all the same to me what they're offering
right.
you here.
Yeah, they really dummy down the menu, and they just have a base of stuff they're going to serve. And, you know, I'm not going to try to understand it. I'm just going to stay firm on my prediction that it will change again. They will either revamp the menu or retheme the restaurant, or, you know, maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe this is a stopgap or something, and once these other restaurants open and they get everything squared away with the Jungle Cruise restaurant, maybe there's something else coming, or, you know, I don't know. But it just seems like on the surface this is too crazy of a change. It just, that wasn't needed. I mean, I think that's a very popular restaurant, and like I said, everybody raves about the burgers.
I never seen that coming.
Yeah, so I don't know. Something ain't right here. I just can't put my finger on it, but I do think that this is...
We're probably wrong, Dan, and everybody else is
yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. Well, according to the poll that we were looking at last week, we were wrong. We were in the minority. Everybody's, you know, I should say the majority was in favor of this change in menu, at least according to the poll we were looking at.
Well, I'll be going over now to Cosmic Rays, which is one of the restaurants where I barely ate at before, but I'd rather go over and get a half a chicken and a rib combo with mashed potatoes and seasonal vegetables for $16.19, or I could get a half a rotisserie chicken with mashed potatoes and seasonal vegetables for $10.99.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be getting reacquainted with Sunny Eclipse. I mean, I agree with you, though, given both choices with the new Pecos Bills menu and the where Sunny Eclipse is, I would definitely go over there to start like
absolutely
cafe. I would go there every time over what you just read to me.
Yeah, and if you guys still want your cheeseburger, they have the third pound Angus bacon cheeseburger served with apple slices, french fries, or green beans for $10.69. So if you still want your burger, you can head over there to get it at Cosmic Rays. They have a vegetable burger for $9.99. They have a chili dog, which sounds good right now for some reason, for $10.29. What else? Barbecue pork sandwich there is really good. That has choice of apple slices or french fries. They have quite a few offerings here. You know, vegetable sandwich with french fries or green beans. So I don't know. This is where I'd be headed. Or you can just get a hot dog.
Yeah,
but if you're going to just get a hot dog, go over to Casey's.
Right.
I own Casey's.
Yeah, the only thing about that place is it is weird how they serve the food. They have, like, I think it's four
all
bays.
All the separation.
Yeah, it's four
yeah.
bays, and you can only get certain things in each bay. So, again, if you're with the, you know, four or five, it doesn't matter. It's, say, you know, you and your wife were there. If you both get something totally different, you can't even stand in line together. You got to get in line at the different bays. So that's kind of a weird thing about that place. But putting that aside, the food itself, though, is much more in line with what I'd be wanting if I was going to do quick serve.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you right now. And I'm always honest, guys. I hate that expression.
He's lying all the rest of the time. He doesn't say
geez.
That.
Right now, if I don't go to Columbia Harbor House for counter service, I'm going to be going to Casey's Corner.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, nothing wrong with that either. It's the best hot dog in the world, as far as I'm concerned, when you're on Main Street USA.
Absolutely. I mean, Where else were you going to go, Dan? I mean, a lot of Golden Oak outposts.
You can go to Gaston's if you want the pork.
That's very good. Yeah, I go get
but,
that.
But I mean, that's a. But that you got to be in the mood for that, though.
Exactly.
You know, if you're not in the mood for that, it's a very limited menu. But you know, if that's something you're hankering for, absolutely, that's an option you have. But you know, everyone doesn't like a pork shank all the time. You know, and they may be looking for something else, and you can't get that there. That's for sure.
I'll tell you where I forget about, and I do enjoy eating there, believe it or not, is Pinocchio Village over there by where you can see it through It's a Small World.
Yep.
I don't go in there all the time, but I've eaten there a couple times. One time is I almost got in a fight on Disney property, the only time in my life. My mother-in-law is in a wheelchair, and there's this big, big meathead, you know, tatted all up, real tough guy, and you could tell he was so unhappy to be at Disney World. Like, if he's with his family, he's miserable, he didn't want to be there, he's too tough to be at Disney World. You know the type I'm talking about. Well, he, like, opens the door, and, like, my mother-in-law's in a wheelchair, and he, like, just almost slams the door right on her and hits the chair and then and goes rumbling by me, and I went off. And my wife had to stop me, but it was like, but we went in, we end up eating, we're eating. My wife's loving the nuggets, and me and this guy are like staring each other down the entire time we're eating.
Right.
But I did like the food in here the last few times I've eaten.
Yeah, this again, I agree with you. This is one of the places we ate there, not quite a bit, but you know, a handful of times when we first started going, and we did enjoy it. They used to have the Figaro fries, which I think they got rid of, but they had pizza and you know stuff like that. And yeah, we used to eat in there all the time, and now it's just never on our radar, and I don't even know why. It's just not a place.
Exactly. You forget it's there for some reason.
Yeah, I agree. The food was, you know, it wasn't out of this world, but for, you know, counter service, it was fine. And again,
it was weird. My wife absolutely loved the chicken nuggets, the chicken breast nuggets there. Like she talked about them afterwards.
Right.
It was crazy that we just went in for a snack. Somebody was, my brother-in-law Mark was hungry. And it was like he wanted to go in, and so we decided to go in the last time, and we forgot how good it was. The meatball sub is really good there. They have a good meatball sub that's decent.
I've had that,
Mediterranean salad, mixed greens, chicken, mozzarella, egg, tomato, banana peppers, red onion, parmesan, and Kalamata olive mix. You know, chicken breast nuggets, the Caesar salad with chicken. The prices aren't bad either, $8.49 for that, the Caesar salad. Chicken breast nuggets, $8.99, which comes with French fries, which it's not a bad deal. Or you can get your apple slices.
Right.
What is also good, the pesto garlic bread knots, served with marinara sauce. They're really good, too.
Sounds awesome.
So, and then they have a tomato basil soup if you're there in February, which we were, which isn't bad. And then the kids can do cheese or pepperoni pizza, chicken breast nuggets, same thing, macaroni and cheese. I get the macaroni and cheese and potato macaroni. For the kid, even though it's not.
Right.
Then you got a Mickey straw, the chocolate cake, the whole. But I forget about this place, and I have to go there more often.
Well, I think with this change in Pecos Bills, we're going to be hitting some of these places we haven't gone to in years because we're not going to be going to Pecos. So you're right.
I mean, I am looking forward to the new restaurant. I can't wait for the Jungle Cruise restaurant because. Have you ever heard anything about exactly what it's going to be?
No. I mean, initially we had heard, as far as the fair, no, I have not. But I think we were kind of going back and forth whether or not it was going to be like the place over there at Beauty and the Beast. What's the name of that place? Be Our Guest. You know, whether they were going to do the, whether they were going to do the, you know, the lunch as a quick serve and then a table service at night. That I haven't heard, but no, I have no idea what the, culinary offerings are going to be when it opens. I have no idea.
Have you ever gotten this at the Friar's Nook, Dan? You could also get a bacon cheeseburger there, but it's a bacon cheeseburger with macaroni and cheese on it.
I've heard of it, but I've never gotten it.
Me neither. And you know why?
Why?
Again, I would get in trouble. But the other reason is every time I go there, I don't think I've ever been to the Magic Kingdom. How many times we've been there and the Friar's Nook has ever been open?
Again, that's a place I don't really, doesn't even register on my brain. I don't know why, but.
Because it's never open.
Yeah, well, that's probably why. It's like the Tomorrowland Terrace there. Same thing. That's generally never open either.
Yeah, open seasonally. I mean, Tonga's Tavern's open seasonably. The Friar's Nook, the Golden Oak Outpost, which I think that's part of the new refurbishment
right
now.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you got the Diamond Horseshoe, which is also open and seasonally.
Right.
Seasonably, I think that's part of the whole thing now. So, I don't know. I just, there needs to be more offerings in the Magic Kingdom. So, I'm hoping this new restaurant comes through for us.
We can only hope.
Well, we need to both put Pinocchio's Village back on
our radar
because we walk right by it all the time.
I do. I'm more interested in looking at the line for It's a Small World than thinking about going down to Haunted Mansion or something when I go by that place. I'm never really focused on eating or thinking about eating when I go by there. Why, I don't know.
I don't know. And have you ever had over at the launching pad? Do you go there often?
No, very rarely. We haven't eaten there in years. Again, it's, we know it's there, but it's, I don't know. Usually we have an ADR. Usually we'll do Crystal Palace or something like that. And if we're doing that, we probably got up a little later and maybe did a late breakfast at the resort. So we're not really eating, counter service at lunchtime there. Maybe that's what it is. Okay. We don't eat a lot of counter service at the Magic Kingdom anyway. So, we just forego that and maybe get a snack or something to tide us over to dinner time.
Yeah, because this is another place I walk by, forget it, don't really go to it. But they have a BLT hot dog, which sounds really good, top of bacon, lettuce, tomato, and ranch dressing. Philly cheesesteak hot dog.
Wow.
Topped with beef, onion, peppers, mushroom, cheese sauce, served with apple slices or chips. Now, really, if you're going to get... Now, how does apple slices go with a Philly cheesesteak hot dog?
Yeah, I mean, you're not trying... Yeah, you're blown your eating good out of the water by getting the hot dog to begin with. So, at that point, the apple slice is pretty useless.
I mean, it's like, it just don't go. I mean, you're going to want to... Oh, man, I can't wait to get into these apple slices after this cheese. I mean, it just don't go.
Yeah.
The taste buds don't go back and forth. And then they have a Coney Island hot dog topped with chili, onion, mustard, and you can get that with your apple slices, too. Come on, you're going to get chips.
Chips or fries. But, I mean, I was just thinking about what you said. And to be honest, if we were going to eat in the Magic Kingdom and if we had a late ADR, at the Crystal or something like that, and we've done this, so I know we would do this, I'd take a chance in trying to get in the Plaza and getting a sandwich there. That's what we would do.
Absolutely. I hear you, but it's just like with crowded times, I'm just trying to cover these little extra spots because if you're not in the mood for the new menu over at Pecos Village, and the thing of it was is, the reason we don't know about any of these, because you would go to the Magic Kingdom, it would be Sunny Eclipse,
right?
Cosmic Rays, it would be Columbia Harbor House or Pecos Bill.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that.
And Casey's Corner. That's
yep.
it. They have all these other places that I keep bringing up to you, and you don't even know, you don't remember half of them are there. And this is a guy that's been there between us, 70, 80 times in the Magic Kingdom?
I know they're there, but I mean, I was just thinking of another one. I mean,
you walk by
you got Sleepy Hollow. You can get those waffle sandwiches there, and,
Absolutely.
That's another option. And, I think I've gotten them once, and it was awesome, but it's just something that we don't do a lot. But, with this new change, I'm going to be doing a lot of these other things, so I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up at the end of the news. I figured it would be something to end the show with to give our listeners a little bit of they've broadened their horizons a little bit. Ain't that, you don't know they're there. They just hide in the background.
Right, right. Either that or they're fully aware of them and we're the only two dopes that aren't aware of them.
I guarantee we'll get feedback. We got a couple more dopes like us that'll agree with us. Nah, I'm just kidding, guys. So, great show, Dan. You got anything else you want to put out there?
No, that's about it. Enjoyed getting our Disney fix tonight and reacquainting ourselves with the quick service dining options at the Magic Kingdom. So that was good.
No, I'm excited about, we'll be talking about your trip coming up. I'm getting excited about hearing, getting down your last ADRs, making sure you didn't back out of a couple things.
I'm fully on schedule here. And like I said, the Magical Express tickets and suitcase, tags came. So we're ready to roll.
You're still going to be eating at my Yak and Yeti?
Absolutely.
Okay, I can't wait to hear you about the fried wontons.
Oh, I got them circled on my plan here. Definitely getting them.
Okay, I want pictures so I can live vicariously through
you. I will tweet you a picture in real time as I'm eating them.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Please, guys, we really, really thank you for listening. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review if you can. Dennis, I'm picking up this round, buddy. I know you need all your money for going to the Magic Kingdom very
soon. Yeah, I'm rolling pennies to go on this trip, so, yeah, I appreciate that.
There you go, buddy. And please check us out on Facebook, Twitter. Please go over to our website at WDW Magical Main Street Memories to check out all of our sponsors. And that's going to be it then. You guys have a wonderful week. It's been great talking Disney with you guys, and I can't wait to talk to you again. See you. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.